Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kim Harris, your host for Possibility Living with Kim, and we are starting a brand new year and a brand new series for the Stiletto Spotlight series. And today we have a repeat guest, someone who's been on the show before, but of course, as always, I enjoy dynamic dialogue, and this woman doesn't disappoint. So before I get into any of this fantastic information and conversation, I want to share with you the call-in number so that you can dial in and ask questions, make comments, or just listen in. 347-826-9330. Again, that's 347-826-9330. I am so excited about 2015 and what it holds, and I'm sure a lot of you out there listening are right in launch mode of your new plans and adventures for this year, and I wish you all the best and prosperity that can come to you. Let's just start our show because we only have 30 minutes, and it always goes by so quickly. Today's spotlight, it shines on Kelly Falardo. Kelly is a burn survivor since the age of 2 years old, and she's been burned over 75% of her body and constantly struggled with her self-worth and confidence. She found a way to go from near death to success. From the ugly Scarface girl to the top 10 most powerful and influential speakers, fierce woman of the year, and international best-selling author 4 times. Count them, 1, 2, 3, 4. And she's a recipient of the Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal and most recently a YWCA Woman of Distinction. I want to welcome everyone. Welcome Kelly Falardo to the show. Good afternoon, Kelly. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm just so totally honored that you've invited me to be on your show today. Thank you.
Oh, Kelly, you know what? You are so dynamic, and you do such phenomenal work. It is a no-brainer to have you here to share with our audience some of the dynamic things that you're doing and your message about loving yourself and where that really comes from and how it's developed. So tell us a little bit about what's been going on with you since our last conversation. I understand you've made some more significant strides. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this is going to be my year of really, you know, hitting it big. Too many people have been telling me I've been playing too small. So I've been asking my, you know, my guidance, okay, how do I play bigger? How do I get my message out there in a bigger way, in a bigger world? And so, you know, I'm really expanding where I'm speaking. So mostly I spoke a lot locally here in Canada and, you know, a little bit in Africa. But now I'm really going to be focusing on, you know, speaking more in the States and speaking more, you know, around the world. So I'm really quite excited about that because I'm really developing some marketing plans so that I can get my message out in a bigger way. I've also decided to develop a new book, and I'm co-writing it with my co-author, Scott Weller, and it's called Avoiding the Mirror. And in that book, we're going to share, some stories because, you know, it's not just the, you know, the ugly girls who don't want to look in the mirror. It's also the good-looking people who don't want to look in the mirror. And when they look in the mirror, they see a whole different side of them. So we're really going to explore why people don't like looking in the mirror and what is it and how it's affecting their lives and how we can help change that. So I'm really quite excited about our new book and how we're doing with that. And, of course, I'm also developing more of my program, the Self-Love Formula. So I've discovered over the past year that there was 20 elements of different things that I was doing that was helping me to love myself more. And I can't always change, you know, what I look like. I can't get rid of those ugly scars. But there's things that I can do internally that can help me love myself more. And when I do those internal things, that is what encourages me to feel beautiful. And that's when I'm able to look in the mirror and go, wow.
Now, that is that's interesting because, you know, it really goes to what is the process or habit that you create to do that. And I know you're going to be one of our dynamic speakers in Washington, D.C. On April 10th and for the Stiletto Women Business Owners Symposium. Is this a part or some of what you'll be sharing with our audience there?
You know, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up your movement and your symposium that you're doing, because I am just so excited about coming to Washington and just sharing my message and just really, you know, getting it out there, because so many people think that it's all about what they see in the mirror. And it really, really isn't. I mean, when I, you know, really evaluated what I was doing, I figured out the reason I'm feeling beautiful about myself is because I'm not in a loveless marriage anymore, okay? I'm honoring myself, and I'm attracting people into my life who I love and who love me, you know, whether it's a friendship or a relationship or a partner or whatever it is. I'm not doing a job that I don't like anymore. I mean, I used to be in a dead-end job, sitting in an office with four walls, and I would go to my office and I would cry all day because I knew that my passion was to be a speaker and an author and share my message. So, you know, and that's the whole thing. And it's not about what you look like. It's like when you go in that mirror and you see that you're not sabotaging yourself anymore and you're bringing and attracting success into your life and you're not in relationships that don't serve you anymore and you're not in a house that doesn't serve you anymore and you're doing all the things that you love and bring you joy, that's when you feel beautiful. And that's what
that's
I noticed.
Exactly,
and that's
right.
What I want to share. Yeah, that's what I want to share with the, you know, the women who are going to be attending your symposium, Kim, is that when you stop doing stuff that doesn't serve you and it brings you pain, that's when you're looking in the mirror and you're just going, yuck. And it's because of all those things that you're doing that you don't like. You know, I mean,
right.
Kim, have you ever been in a job that you hated?
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
And try going to work every day and spending 8 hours a day doing something you hate. How are you going to look in the mirror?
Worse.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than spending all day at a job that you hate, you know, and then, you know, not only that, you're probably in a relationship that you hate, you know, and, you know, maybe you've got a spouse that, you know, it's just not serving you, it's not empowering, your relationships are draining you. And so how can you go look in the mirror and say, wow, am I ever beautiful, when you're doing stuff that is draining you instead of empowering you? And I have never felt more beautiful in my own life than when I ended my marriage, quit my job, became a speaker full-time, became an author, won all these awards, and it was all because I started doing what makes me feel great and what makes me feel loved and what brings joy to my life. When I was sitting in my office working 8 hours a day doing something I hated, I could not look myself in the mirror and say, wow. But when I went and I was, you know, writing books and I was getting on stage and sharing my story and people were coming and giving me hugs and saying how much I resonated with them, and it was like, oh, my gosh, like my energy level just went up incredibly. So that's why I'm a real big firm believer that if you want to feel awesome about yourself and look in the mirror and say, wow, you got to be and do who it is that you want to be. And you have to do what's going to bring your passion and joy.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because you're absolutely right. I experienced that whole thing with being in a job that I did not love, and what it did was it drained me. It drained me emotionally. It left me depleted at the end of the day rather than
absolutely
fulfilled. And I think that when you find passion in something, and that's the key. The passion is what ignites the feeling of, I think, you know, love. Love changes everything. And you not only love what you're doing, but you do love yourself because of what you're doing. And it's not the what you're doing that is important. It's the feeling behind what you're doing, I think, that really gives or lends to the intention of it. So let's talk about the process of creating that feeling of passion or finding that passion that will spark that level of love within yourself. What are some of the things, like you said, you identified 20-plus things that you do to make you feel good. What are a few that you could share with our audience today that would help them get started on that path?
Well, I guess what you really have to discover is ask yourself, like, are you doing a job that you love? Okay, so, you know, are you in relationships that you love, whether it's your partner or whether it's, you know, your best friend or, you know, your kids or, you know, even just, like, people that you work with? Like, are you in relationships that are really going to serve you? Are you doing a job that's serving you? Is your marriage or your partnership, do you love it or do you hate it? Are you living in a house that you love or do you hate it? Or anywhere in between there. What are you doing for hobbies? Are you doing stuff that you love? Are you doing things that you hate? I get a real kick out of parents who insist that their children must learn how to play the piano because they did. And then their kids hate it. The kids absolutely hate it. And they can't get better at it because they hate it. I mean, I was a prime example of that. My mom was an amazing organ player. So she put my sister and I in organ lessons, and we hated it. And we would only practice 5 minutes before we had to leave for organ lessons. And then we felt horrible because we let our organ teacher down because she would say, did you practice? And we would say, oh, yeah, we practiced because we practiced 5 minutes before we left, right? But we never got good at it. And because we couldn't get good at it, we thought we were failures. But it wasn't that we were failures. It was because we were doing something that we hated, and we only did it because our mom told us we had to do it. There was such a sense of relief when my mom finally said, I guess you guys really don't like it, and there's no sense in me wasting my money, spending money on lessons that you're not going to enjoy. So then what happened is my sister and I felt an amazing relief because we no longer had to do something we hated. But then when my parents put us in horseback riding, oh, my gosh, we were riding our horses every day for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and we were going to competitions, and we were winning medals, and we were in 4-H, and we were accomplishing something. All of a sudden, our self-esteem and our self-love went up tremendously because we were doing something we loved, not hated. So I really challenge people, what are you doing in your life? Are you doing things you love, or are you doing things you hate? You know?
But,
and
you know,
even
here's the thing, Kelly. Here's the thing. Here's the thing with that. You know, yeah, there are a lot of people out there maybe listening, and they're saying, yes, I'm in a job that I hate, but I have to do this right now until I can find or do something different. And
okay.
What do you do? I mean, what do you do when you're in a situation like that? You can't just up and quit the job because you hate it, although some people have done that, namely me. But, you know, you don't want to get to that point either. How do you pre-assess that situation and prepare yourself for that exit? You know that something else is waiting for you to make you happier.
Well, I have,
so how do you
absolutely.
Do that?
And I have two answers for that. My first answer is, even if you can't do your passion full-time, find a way to do it part-time. So, for example, when I decided that I wanted to be a speaker, I knew that I wouldn't make the money right away. I knew I had to build it up. I knew I had to take baby steps. I knew I couldn't just go right out the gate and start charging $5,000 an hour to speak. I knew I would have to start at $500, then go up to $1,000, then go up to, you know, and work up to the $5,000 range. So what I did is I kept my job, but then in my spare time, I would work on my website, work on my speech. I would, you know, build relationships, and I would speak elsewhere for free, and I would find ways to work my speaking business into my full-time life. And so I was actually doing two jobs, right? So then what I did, here's my other answer to that. I have never made more money than when I decided to be a speaker. So when I had my full-time job, I was limited to what I could make. And so then when I chose to be a speaker, I can speak once and make way more money than I when I had my full-time job. And now I also have the time to market myself as a speaker full-time. So instead of putting 40 hours a week into a job that I hated and make somebody else rich, I said to myself, what if I put 40 hours a week into marketing myself as a speaker? I wonder how much money I could make then.
Wow.
And see, what happened is having my – it is. And what happened was having my full-time job actually hindered me from, you know, excelling as a speaker, mm-hmm. because then I was spending too much time working at my job and not enough time working as a speaker and developing what my passion was. So what I found mm-hmm. is that I actually had to work less to make more money.
Wow. Right?
So mm-hmm. I encourage mm-hmm. you, because when you're doing your passion, you are going to have that energy and everything that you need to work like 10 times harder in your life. Like, I know that I had no energy when I was working at my job because I hated it. But when I quit my job and when my boss gave me my ultimatum, we had a little bit of a discussion, and she just said, Kelly, you know what you want to do. And she said, and you know that this is not what you want. And she said, I want you to ask yourself one question. She said, are you going to be excited that you have a job to come to on Monday, or are you going to be relieved that you don't have a job to come to on Monday? And when I asked myself that question, I was like, oh my God, she hit it on the head.
Wow.
It was like, oh my God. So the next, and that was it. Right? So I went back to work the next day. And
I best-selling author status. That's impressive. You have written several books, and you have a unique process for that. I know that when you come, you're going to be talking to women about how to love themselves and how to find their passion and, that process of developing and doing so. But I think it's important to help women to understand also their journey and how to document it and sell it as a tool to women who are looking for answers in that area. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I would love for you to share with us just some of the strategies that you used to take your life lessons and turn them into best-selling books. So get ready for that one, Kelly. Hang on.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Okay.
Stiletto Women Business Owners Symposium is on the move again. This time, we want you to go with us. It's time to step up your brand's visibility, red carpet style. Place your brand's logo on our media wall and travel with us across the U.S. and abroad. Make a statement in multiple markets and stretch your marketing dollars. Go to bit.ly/2015mediawall.
Okay, we are back. This is your host, Kim Harris of Possibility Living with Kim. Today we are shining our Stiletto spotlight on Kelly Filardo, best-selling author and international speaker. And before we get back into our dialogue, I want to encourage you to go to our website on facebook.com/StilettoWBO, like us, become a part of the community, and share your value. Okay, Kelly, before we went on break, I said we wanted to talk about your best-selling author status. So give us a little bit of an idea of how you took all of your phenomenal experiences and made those experiences best-seller books, just a little bit of what that means. And I know you're going to be sharing a lot more with us at the Stiletto Symposium in D.C., but for today, we'd love to have a few nuggets to take with us. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, the whole idea with becoming a best-selling author is that you need to get as many people as possible to buy your book on a certain day. So it's not based on, you know, a lot of people think that in order to be a best-selling author, you have to sell 5,000 books or you have to sell 1,000 books. And that sounds really you know, sometimes for some people it sounds like it's something they can't accomplish. But it's not based on that. It's based on how many you sell in, you know, in your category and to get into that top 100. And when you get into that top 100, that's when you become a best-selling author. So keeping that in mind, the idea is, of course, how are you going to get people to buy your book, right? So a couple of my secrets are is that one of the first things I do is I always get a cover made. So I get my cover is one of the very first things that I design because when people see that cover, then it feels real to them. And people are like, oh, my gosh, Kelly really is creating a new book because here's the cover, here's proof. And people are like, oh, mm-hmm. my gosh, this is just incredible, right? So that's one of the first mm-hmm. things that I do is I get a cover made. The second thing that I do is I get other people involved. So in my first book, I had people write me letters. And I don't remember what the topic was, but I just had them write little letters, and I included those letters in my book. I also allow them to put their websites in there, and that way they get promoted. Now, a lot of people don't think that they can write a whole book. They don't think they have enough content. And so they don't, and plus they don't have the time, or they're scared to. They're scared to write a whole book. So what people love to get involved in other people's books because then they just need to write a couple things, right? Or they need to spend a couple hours writing. Versus me, sometimes I take anywhere from a month to 5 months to write a book, or sometimes even longer, depending on what it is. So people love being able to just write one chapter or a couple paragraphs. And they love that they get that feeling of knowing that they're involved in somebody's book. So I always get people involved in my book. So how I became a best-selling author with the 1,000 Tips for Teenagers book was that we had 120 authors each submit 10 tips. Well, here's the thing. Because we had those 120 authors in the book, they all wanted to promote the book because they're in it, right? And they're proud to be in your book. So I had 120 people promoting the book. So that was how I was able to get people to buy the book on launch day, was because I had all those people promoting it. Now, if they didn't promote it on Facebook or social media, then I promoted it for them. So then I would go onto Facebook and I would say, hey, Kim, it's so great to have you in our book. And, you know, today's launch day, and if any of your friends want to buy the, you know, read your 10 tips for teenagers, here's where they can buy the book. And then I would have the link. And that way, your friends would all see that, you know, see that you were in the book. So that was awesome. One of my other strategies. So
that's
the
awesome.
Other thing is, and one of my other strategies with, especially with the one, actually, I think it was with my self-esteem book. I did my second book is called Self-Esteem Doesn't Come in a Bottle. And here's another, you know, a little hot tip that I did. I put on a contest. So every couple of days, I would have like a guessing contest. So I would say, guess the chapter. And I would say what the whole name of the chapter is, but I would leave one or two words out. And then people would have to guess what the chapter was. And then the prize was that they would win a book. So So what was really cool about it was that I would have 30 or 40 people commenting on, you know, trying to guess what the chapter title was. And, of course, I'm generating excitement for the book, right? And then people are like, oh, when is launch day? I want to buy this book. And, and so that was another one of my strategies is, you know, really getting people excited about the book and knowing that that's what you're working on. So I always encourage people that if you want to become a best-selling author and you're writing a book, decide that right from the beginning. A lot of times what happens is people think after they started writing it that, oh, yeah, maybe now I want to become a best-selling author. And they approach me and they say, okay, can you help me make this book a best-selling book? And I'm like, no, I can't. And they're like, what do you mean? And it's because you don't have the strategies in place. And you need to do that right from the beginning. Because when you do it right from the beginning, you can plan your book and all your marketing strategies right from the very beginning.
That's awesome. Now that's smart. That's smart marketing, I call it. Smart marketing. Now we're down to 5 minutes. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. I want you to share one valuable tip for anyone who's creating a New Year's resolution for creating a new them or you in the way. Say, new year, new you. What would be the tip that you would give them to do that?
What I would really suggest is for people to really start paying attention to what they love. So, you know, that's one of the things I loved about you, Kim, is that, you know, you talk about love. And it's so true. When you really start paying attention to, you know, what do I love to eat? What do I love to do? You know, who do I love to spend time with? What do I love about my business? You know, I mean, even with my own business, there's certain things that I love to do and things I hate to do. Well, I had to hire an assistant because the things I hate doing were dragging me down and not allowing me to feel empowered about my own business. So I had to get an assistant so she can do those things, and she loves doing those things, right? And she's like, mm-hmm. Let me have more. I want more and more and more. So I think my tip would be do what you love. So really evaluate your life. And, you know, are you, you know, forcing yourself to work out when you really hate it? You know, like we're so focused on we got to lose weight. Well, do mm-hmm. something that you love to do, and then losing weight really isn't going to be an issue. You know, find someone exactly. that you can go and do yoga with or do stuff that you love to do, and then all of a sudden your life is going to be full of joy and happiness and passion. And that's when you're going to start being able to look in the mirror and say, wow, I really love myself.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, as usual, Kelly, it is a pleasure, and I want to thank you for taking time to speak with us and engage in some dynamic dialogue with us today. I can't wait to see you in D.C. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to I'm just so excited about what 2015 holds for the Stiletto Movement and what we're doing on the back end as well. I'm just excited that you're a part of this and that you share your value in such a genuine way. So thank you again for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you there. And I want to thank our audience for taking time out of their day to tune in to Possibility Living with Kim and our Stiletto Spotlight series. Please go to our website at facebook.com/StilettoWBO and become a fan, like our page, connect with some phenomenal women there that can help you to grow and develop your business. And if you want to be a guest on this show, please email me at kim@iam-community.com. That is a direct email for me if you're interested in being a guest on our show and having our Spotlight series shine the spotlight on you. We hope that you will trek with us across the U.S. and across the country, actually around the globe this year, 2015. We've got so much in store. Go to our website to learn more about our international travels in Paris in September. Yes, I did say Paris, France, that is. And I hope that you're up to speed with your French speaking skills, as I have been doing for these past couple of weeks. So get ready, because we are about to change the way women do business one city at a time. Thank you again for tuning in. This is your host, Kim Harris, signing off, saying be blessed, encouraged, and empowered.